gotta get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some makeup on it. While I stand up in the background and check
them. Hello, and welcome to the Track Giggity 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 Games podcast, where you can watch ladies pee. Alright.
Thank you for coming back for seventh episode. I'm still a little sick. I'll still may blow the elephant horn once or twice. We are back with our full roster of three
bird
idiots
flu.
And a moron. Yes, bird flu. Three idiots and a moron. I'll be the moron. I am Austin, a.k.a. Mr. Chupont on the site, and I'm here with Alfred.
777 Antipode.
Okay. Tony.
Picking a pauper's whale.
And last and definitely incredibly least, Ethan. Just kidding.
They call me Triple X.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. All right. Last week, if you'll all remember, we went on a couple of tangents and we presented a movie-length podcast. So we won't do that today, but what we will do is pick up one of the topics that we talked about last week and try to talk about it in full for the entire duration of the cast, because a lot of people's got a lot of things to say. I think one topic of interest was the whole backwards compatibility relevance and its tie into digital distribution. I think Ethan should take honors here since he had pretty good things to say last week about it.
Bam.
Bam is not a thing.
And don't be boring.
Yeah, so last time we got in a discussion about backwards compatibility and how it relates to delivery of digital content. And we were talking about how important is backwards compatibility. And will it be necessary in the future as on-demand services gain in popularity? And
my name is Ethan. I am Monotone.
Get some
excitement, please.
Let
Joe,
the
we were let discussing the accounting practices of Ernst & Young.
No,
let's
shut up.
Let's do that.
No, let's go.
That's it. That's the topic.
Yeah, I think it also tied into people who enjoy collecting, and I guess what that means for the future of, you know, will collecting really mean having something tangible or just something dumped onto a hard drive? And I think, who was, say, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to start with the article, this article in Next Generation. There have been a couple of focus groups where in the focus group, apparently, people are saying that backwards compatibility matters to them. They want a thing they can hold on to.
Right.
And they want to be able to play those games in their new systems. But then the fact that, you know, is that once they buy it, they don't. And it's there are a couple of quotes that leave it ambiguous, so it's still a point of discussion. There's no real good study that shows how many people actually use old games in their new systems.
Uh-huh.
But it does show that it's a problem. People buy new hardware to play new games. Most of them don't play their old games in their new hardware. However, on our last discussion, Alan, Austin, and Tony, you guys all do that. And yes, I'm wondering how many gamers out there are like you and how many gamers out there are more like me, where I really rarely play the older games in my system. If I play an older game, it'll be like I'll find an emulator and do it on the PC.
Well, I think there was one thing that I forgot to bring up last week about this whole backwards compatibility thing, and that is, I guess the marketing point of it is really, really overseen. For instance, if you wanted to buy an Xbox 360, you mind your business over there. If you wanted to buy a new system, say like the Xbox 360, and you have not owned an Xbox before, I think it would be advantageous not only to yourself but the company as well that buy this system, then you could play all the previous games and collect a pretty old library, but it's new to you. Okay, and I think that is one advantage that they're really overlooking. You know, so
that's a good point.
So especially for me, I'm not going to buy any new systems, so if that new system did offer something like this, it would be a selling point to me. Well, I don't have this system available, but now I could play every game for this system and its previous, its predecessor.
Right.
So that's my point there.
I mean, it's funny, like, you hear a lot of people, and I don't have any empirical evidence for this, but just by people who write into to podcasts or to websites or to editors and stuff. They say, you know, well, I can't really afford a PS3, so I'm going to go and gonna buy a PS2 now, even though it's like, what, 6 years old? Because there are tons of games that I haven't played yet. Now imagine if if every system were backwards compatible right off the bat, you know, and they were worried, like, oh, I'm spending $100 now in this system that I'm going to dump in, like, however many years. They can just stick with a new console that can play the old content, you know, and not have to worry. I think I'm just basically rambling on your point, Tony, but yeah, I mean, in short, I agree. But here's one point that this guy on the article says.
Austin, get your mouth on that mic.
Let's see if I can...
Ooh.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can... That's a lot better.
Let's see if I can pronounce this name. Tassos Kayayaf. Whatever. Tassos
Kayayaf.
That
is the correct pronunciation.
What language is that?
In Intel's gaming strategic planner. This is from the article that you sent. This is going to make me punch him in the face. Quote, I think backwards compatibility is nothing more than something else for the fanboys to pick up and complain about. Unless console hardware manufacturers can do something to the old games to enhance them in some meaningful way on the next-gen consoles, it's not worth doing. I totally disagree with
him. Objection!
But,
serious.
It's a valid point in this... Well, okay, here's the rest of the text. It's not part of his quote, but it says, he argues that the PC, the ultimate backwards compatibility machine, has always been about evolution rather than stark generational cycles. That's all well and good, but, I mean, you still want something to play your old stuff on. So, I think he's one of those kind of frothing-at-the-mouth people who just likes to say something to get people up in arms. Especially, this is especially evident to me by the way he calls people fanboys and complaining and all that stuff. No, it's a legitimate thing that people should expect. One of the complaints that I always had about the Nintendo system was that they weren't backwards compatible, you know? So, like, I would like to just be able to plop in a Super Nintendo game into an N64 and just go without pulling out the Super Nintendo, plugging it in, playing it, and then putting it back. You know, it's a nightmare of wires. Gamers are lazy, somewhat.
It's
sort
true.
Of, you know, so, I mean, yeah, just not to avoid recycling the arguments that I posted last week, you know, yeah, I mean, there it is.
So. Also, I think to avoid backwards compatibility, they want to go with, like, say, intermediary compatibility, whereas you have the Game Boy on the N64, you could play it through by way of this little thing that you put on the back of the memory card port. Remember, I don't know if you guys ever owned this, but I was duped enough to buy it, and it actually plays those games on your television screen. So
you talking about the Super Game Boy?
So I think not the Super Game Boy, because that was on the Super Nintendo. I'm talking about the one that was on the N64.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
It goes into the memory card port. Yeah. And
there was a Game Boy player on N64.
Yep.
Wow.
And
sure.
I bought this. And it actually came with Pokemon Yellow, I believe. And that's why I bought it. And that was sad, because that's the only thing I've ever bought. You know, I could have used other Game Boy games, but I just didn't want to, because it was not really... it didn't really do anything to enhance the game, per se. But that would be the next marketing thing that they might want to do. If you can't have an emulator, say, built into the machine, you can buy one.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Something from last week...
Austin, get your mouth near the mic.
Something from last week that I wanted to flesh out is you said something about... Ethan, actually, is saying something about the culture changing from collecting something to just having it digitally. Do you have any more words on that?
Yeah, I mean, what we were talking about was if you do see a future where most of the content's provided on an on-demand basis over broadband lines and not necessarily through a thing that you hold, like a DVD or a CD or a cartridge, then does the culture wind up changing with it? Does collecting or the meaning of collecting change?
It depends
on what, like, the future system looks like. Maybe you can download stuff, and obviously you have some storage at your own, you know, your house, and you can store certain things there and maybe play them offline if the connection is down. But it's If the future of computing is really a terminal-based, you know, all the processing is done at a central server somewhere, and you're just using a terminal, so there are no compatibility issues, you're paying for a service you're paying for delivery service as opposed to like a piece of content that you can hold on to. What does that do to the culture? What does that do to, you know, the kids now that are growing up that'll be kind of be using this from the beginning, that won't have a thing with a booklet that comes with it and a map that you can frame and like a picture and it comes with a free t-shirt and that kind of crap?
I think one of the things that dictates a change in any like the acceptance of, say, throwing away antiquated devices such as a DVD player once it becomes obsolete is the way we move towards consumption in our economy, okay? Whereas you want everybody to throw away their old stuff. Just throw it away, buy everything new and stuff. And this was done hugely in Japan, okay? So in that aspect, consumption of that nature would definitely dictate that you cannot keep this stuff because it's just not productive. And it's if you go into this mindset where you're used to just throwing out old things and new, you don't get an attachment to the unit. Whereas I do. And, you know, I'm sort of a pack rat that way. And I don't think I could ever fall into that, consumerism-based thinking that they want me to get rid of something that I know I loved at one time. I just can't do it. I gain those attachments. And I think there are other gamers out there that do too. And they're just not ready to just be told, no, it's going away of the dinosaur, that's it. You either go along with it or or you just don't go along at all.
Right. I think it's also besides. Let me just shoot a short one in here.
Ooh,
squirt. ooh. Seriously. A lot of people are afraid of change, and I'm not going to deny that I'm sort of apprehensive to this type of change. But I think another thing is just practicality. I mean, suppose your hard drive crashes. Suppose the network connection dies or something. You know, it's just logistics. Where are you going to go to when the network fails and when your hard drive crashes? You're not going to have any disk to put into anything now. So, if there is a console there, there should be something there that gives people the option to, just as a backup, And this actually. This is a quote that I'm seeing from, guess who? Ken Kutaragi from Sony, again, speaking out of his ass. Okay, here we go. This is from joystick.com, another gaming blog. Let's see. Speaking to Japanese site PC and Press Watch, Sony's original smack talker, Ken Kutaragi, has confirmed that the PlayStation 3's online service will be free. Okay, that's fine. Indeed, Kutaragi believes the revenue will come from digital downloads provided to the PS3. We really wanted to do this with the PS2, if you'll remember, jacking in the Matrix. But now Apple has really realized a successful e-distribution program. It's about time we made our move, too, even though Microsoft has done it already for 3 years. Anyway, in the same interview, Kutaragi predicts that consumers will embrace digital downloads within 1 to 2 years. Eventually, he believes optical drives will be obsolete and later all disk storage. Quote, I expect even the hard disk to disappear eventually, end quote, notes Kutaragi. Quote again, if you have all the data on servers, you probably no longer need disk drives, but to do this, the server is crucial. It's a difficult problem. And this is what I'm talking about. Yes,
thanks,
you need...
Ethan.
The answer is thanks, Ethan. But, you're right, it's a difficult problem, and it's not one that's going to be solved. How can you not have... we're already talking about it's a shame that disks are going the way to the dodo, because we like to have our disks. Now he's saying you're not going to need disk drives at all? Like, no hard disks? I mean... Again, I'll bring it up again. What happens when the network fails?
I think that's a good point.
When the network fails, I think we go outside and play frisbee.
Yeah, that is a possibility. It is possible to do other things and play video games, but who wants to? Fuck that.
That's true.
I'm looking to really gain about 250 pounds in the next 4 years, and I'm not going to be doing that if I'm playing sports. So I want to.
I'd rather play PS3 frisbee. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah, I want to do. Dude, PS3 honestly, bass fishing is where it's at.
all right, guys. Al, saying something.
Oh yeah. I just want to say that in the immortal words of Ken Kutaragi, frisbee has gone the way of the dodo as well.
Oh,
true that.
Man.
And this is this.
I threw so this have in the there. Dogs that catch them. Yeah.
I threw this in there I threw this in there because it's Kutaragi and we like making fun of him, but like in a serious note, like him saying this, the reason why I brought it up is not because to make a fool out of him again, but it's just because there are people that believe this, and there are people that think that really, like, at some point, you know, they will control everything, and we will just be, you know, siphoning it off of them, and I just don't like that idea that that control is taken away from us and given to them by their on their terms, where we are paying them the money to own something that we want.
It's true.
That's an excellent point, and that's the other piece of this, is that it's almost, there's a privacy issue here. There's a,
yeah.
There are things that Americans hold dear that will go away once you do things like that.
America, okay.
Exactly, but the issue isn't you're not making fun of the Sony guy. I mean, you may be, but it's not his.
We always are.
Right. Well, it's not his idea.
Yeah, I know. Right.
And that's what you're saying. And the point is that whether it's going to happen probably regardless of whether we think it's a great idea or not, and how the public receives it is the question. And I have to believe that. As time goes on and as the reliability of the network improves and becomes, it's a more realistic assumption to believe that the network will be, uptime will realistically be 99.999%, that new generations of people won't really care about where their stuff is stored. Sure, maybe they have a drive backup in their house, but that's really only to save data that they wouldn't ever want to lose and they don't want to trust other people with. It's not necessarily where you'd want to process any information. It's not necessarily where you need to run stuff when you are at home and the network is down, because it's never going to be down.
I can see it now because I work for a company that has voice over IP service that doesn't have a 100% uptime. Mm-hmm. And people are just simply going to call and say, I can't play my games. And then they're going to have, all kinds of customer service trying to help people with trying to connect to the service play their games.
Yeah.
Which
what
means
kind of
now...
What do they have?
enough. It's just that some people, you know, it's a lot of customer equipment related things. So people are going to be calling in talking about, I can't play my games, and it's because their console's off. Or because their controller's not plugged in.
It's true, yep.
And now you're going to wind up selling customer service instead of actual good products.
Well, they should put...
Well, but ideally, once you have a system that's really generally used, you cut down on that. I mean, I would assume that, yeah, you're always going to have, you know, requests for help, but you should be reducing the number of requests for help if there are fewer compatibility issues, if everything's run off the network, versus... You give people CDs to install on their various platforms.
Well, it's...
That's kind of true.
But it's not a... I mean, look at it right now. We've got an Xbox 360, one system, one game medium. I mean, just the DVD, all right? Simple controller, you plug it in. With Xbox Live, as great as the service it is, you know that they had to increase a whole buttload of customer service. Just, I can't connect. I don't know how to connect this. I don't know how to put this Wi-Fi thing in there. Oh, my gamer score is off. Oh, someone was cheating. Blah, blah,
yep.
blah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean...
But that's, again, I think it's because it's still a new system. And if you're talking about a general terminal where there's no hardware on the user's end, there shouldn't be any of those problems. It's a dumb terminal. It connects or it doesn't. You know what I mean? The problems you're going to get calls in are, like, my keyboard broke, or I put the handle in my butt and I can't get it out.
But the thing is, you won't find that out until, 10 minutes in. 10 minutes in, you're going to be like, oh, so, which console are you using?
So the handle is on my butt?
Wait. Guys.
They're going to call saying that, you know, I turn on my game and... I can't play my controller. I don't know where it is. And then you're going to be like, okay, well, what console do you have? And they're going to tell you. And then you're going to be like, okay, what this, what that? And then they're finally going to say, you know, I've got this, pain in my butt. And you're like, can you check your butt for the controller? And they go, oh, thanks.
Yes, it's true.
Either that, or they should go into conjunction with, WebMD or something. I mean, just to safeguard all
WebMD.
Co-marketing
with console manufacturers all over.
But you would hope that those people are the same people that are putting the controllers up their butt now and calling. And those are in addition to the calls that you're getting, my Windows isn't working because I don't have the right graphics drivers installed, or DirectX is off, or lots of other problems.
Ethan, trust me.
I'm sorry.
You wouldn't know. all the new people who they're going to get, when they see, oh, all I need to do is buy this, and then I can play all the games I want, it's going to be people who don't really play games, and they just want something in the house, like for their children, and it's going to be some weird situation. It's like, my child is autistic, or he's got asthma or something. It's like some kind of weird condition, and he needs to have this game to survive. And they're going to make you feel like it's so important that this thing works because their child might die, and they're going to try and hold you responsible even though it's an entertainment service.
Yeah, no,
so
I think...
So those are the people who are going to call in saying, the controller's up my butt.
Absolutely. But... I still would have to wonder if why you would have a support number of support requests escalate if the technology is simpler.
Because it might not be simpler. It might be marketed as simpler, and there's a lot of things going on in the background that are supposed to make it simple on the front end, but really aren't because there are a lot of complications. For example, the Nintendo DS going online. All right, you're supposed to just be able to do an auto search for your network information from your router because there's a button that you just tap with the stylus that says, you know, auto connect, right? They make it simple, but nothing can ever be that simple. So when that doesn't work, you have to go in and you have to set up your network connections manually, and that still doesn't work. You go onto Nintendo.com, find your router on the list, realize that, oh shit, this router isn't 100% compatible with the network. Crap, I gotta go buy a new router. You buy a new router, you try to connect, you still can't connect, and then you realize you're on Verizon DSL that has some sort of weird firewall that doesn't let you connect. I've tried to set up my friend's Nintendo DS Wi-Fi connection 10 times and it hasn't worked because of the ISP. Now...
Go ahead.
No, I'll ask you to finish. Go ahead.
I was just going to suggest that, firstly, those are all examples, good examples, but examples where there's still a console and a computer on the client end. And secondly, you know, we've written this program that Austin knows plenty about for fertility clinics to enter their success rates into a client application. It used to be an Access application. It was out for years. People would use it. People would call in. I can't get it to work. I have to install an Access runtime. I have a different version of Office. Lots of problems. Now we've released that for the web. We've standardized everything about it. All you need to do is load a web browser. It works over port 80, so there aren't any firewall issues. If you can get a web connection and you can get a browser to work, all the software is on our side, and we have no system requests whatsoever.
That's good. Because we have a similar system called Optimum Online, where as long as you have a browser and it works over port 80 and you plug your computer in via Ethernet, you should be able to get a web page. But people still call us with system requests.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, I agree. But with Optimum Online, those requests are probably mostly like, I unplugged the Ethernet cable while my computer was on, plugged it back in, and it's not grabbing a new IP address, and I have to reset everything. Where those are still equipment problems.
Yeah, and... The other half of it, or should I say 80%, is firewall, bad browser, bad computer, just referrals out to the manufacturers. But I just think that that's a waste of time. When people should know that if they can't get online because their computer is bad, they should call their computer company. But they associate their computer, no matter what they do with it, with going online.
Absolutely.
So that's why I'm thinking that they're probably going to make the assumption too, oh, I can't play my game. Say if it was computer-based, it's like, I can't play my game because that's primarily what you do with the computer. So any kind of computer problem will be associated with, I can't play my game.
Absolutely. But the great thing is when you have just a terminal, mm-hmm. the problems that you're having will all be legitimately whatever the service provider is providing.
That's true because all you have is service provider.
That's right.
With a terminal.
I mean, yeah, there's some hardware, you know, like a TV. Like there's a display device and an input device. Those are really mm-hmm. the two devices that you have. And obviously there can be problems with those two devices. But that's way simpler than a monitor, a computer with totally different operating systems and software, a cable router, a wireless router, a laptop, a CD-ROM drive, and, like, you know, a flamethrower, which I always use when I play games.
Oh, yeah!
that's true.
So I think that's totally valid, but I find it impossible to believe that eventually that the system that winds up getting released isn't... cleaner, simpler, and standardized. Where every support request that you get is... There's nothing to support except the server-side stuff and the two pieces of hardware that's in your house.
I'm, I'm curious about something, though, that I'm not really quite clear on, and maybe I missed something from last week or something, but when you say compatibility issues, I mean, we're just talking about a PS2, let's say, for instance, just a PS2. What compatibility issues?
No, that's a great question. That's why a console shines, is because you don't have compatibility issues. You only really have those compatibility issues on PC.
Right, but
PS2,
what
you don't. Yeah. But you do once you have, like, if you have Xbox Live, and you do have a connection to the outside world, that's when you get the support requests. The only other support requests I guess you're going to get on PS2 are, like, it's not compatibility related, because it's one piece of hardware, and right. All those programs that are written for that one piece of hardware are standardized, so there aren't any compatibility issues, which is a great kind of plug for the server side stuff, because all the PS, if you move that to the server side, where everything is a PS2 in quotes, then you again don't have any compatibility issues.
How long do you think it's going to be before
before it happens?
Before it happens, due to the technical side of it, due to broadband data transfer is only so fast at a certain point in time. How soon will we even get it to a feasible level where gigabytes of data are being transferred over so that, like, you can so that the graphics are running at 60 frames a second?
I would say
I have a 56K modem.
yeah, you can run it over modem. I would say you'll start to see it in about 50 years.
50 years.
Yeah,
That's too.
You think that's too far?
Yeah, I think that's way off. It's just for the fact that I've been working with not even with computers, just around computers long enough to know that the speeds I think that'll be suitable for me are definitely not as fast, because I am just slower than that. I'm not up with the industry technology. I had a 56K modem, then I had Verizon DSL, and they said that was fast, and then I had Optimum Online, and then they changed the data transfers on the DSL, and then they did this, and then they did that. It's just a sign of the times. And even to estimate it right now, we don't know what industry standards are coming out. We don't know what's going to become industry standards. We don't know who's going to make what. I mean, probably right now there's a kid in... Swahili, who's making a new data transfer device that is just going to totally blow us away. We don't know.
No, we do know. We do know where it's going, and we do know what the capabilities are, and it's fiber. And
all I know is where it's been and where it is now, and that was pretty damn quick.
If someone can make an animated GIF of Tony's head exploding, I will give you a cookie. I will give you a cookie and a broken GameCube controller.
I could do it right now.
I do want to say that the reason why I say 50 years, I'll qualify it, and then I think Al wants to say something, is that it seems to me that over fiber optics is really the newest method of data transfer, and it'll last quite some time, and that's because you can add strings of fiber within each trunk, and you're adding, I don't remember what the stats are, but it's a ridiculous amount of data, and it's traveling at the speed of light, essentially.
Right.
It's just
But
under
they've had
the
that
speed
for
of
years.
Light.
My balls
yeah, but they,
the speed
and
of light.
And they're using it now, and you get lightning fast data transfer rates, and there's no funnel in the transfer line. There's funnels on each end.
Well, remembered that you said not too long from what was this? Like maybe about 7 years ago, you said all computers were like they're trying to make a computer made just entirely of fiber optics and some other materials. And I mean that hasn't happened yet. Who's to say that fiber optics technology, since it's been out all this time, Will get better or won't get better?
Well, I'll tell you. I have to say one thing, and then Al's going to speak. The fiber optics can't get any. You can't really get any better than fiber optics, because fiber optics travels at the speed of light, and nothing goes faster. It's a physics issue. You can't move anything faster than the speed of light. We don't know anything that goes faster than the speed of light. We can't make anything but light go that fast.
Says you.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's just a whole new area. That's a whole new area.
Says me. It says like every physicist on the planet. Like it's not. It's one of those. It's a law. It's like gravity.
But they haven't seen me run around the baseball diamond yet.
That's right,
bitches.
Yeah.
True. Al,
you
please.
Want some pancakes, bitches? Go ahead, Al.
Just also when you relate everything to whole broadband and fiber optics and speed of light crap, you gotta. You've also got to consider how many people have adopted to this system. Of course, you have to have a market in order to sell a product, and the market has to be big enough to justify the profit, and all that other stuff. And people are still kind of, you know, Microsoft just, they threw their ass out into it just because they know that even if they take losses, they got Windows to make up for it. But Nintendo has always been, like, cautious and kind of staying the pace when it comes to online, mainly because they probably feel that the market isn't big enough yet. They want to have broadband in every house, you know, and it would be cool if broadband was in every house, because then that would make this idea of server-based backwards compatibility and just future gaming possible. That makes everyone a candidate to actually get it. Right now, everyone's a candidate to go into the store and purchase a console. But right now, not everyone's a candidate for going to the store, purchasing a terminal, connecting it to their broadband connection that can download at, say, 200 megabits per second.
That's right.
I think that's
and
semi...
That's, oh, go ahead. That's kind of like, you know, the main standpoint of why no one's really kind of pushing it. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, I expect this in the future. I think I see this coming. But they're not really going ahead with it.
It's also the same reason why, like, a lot of people, including myself, like, kind of rolled their eyes when Microsoft at the beginning said the Xbox will not support any kind of modem line. It will have to be Ethernet. You see what happened? Xbox Live, how long was Xbox Live delayed? They wanted to get it out like really early, but like people were like, when's my Xbox Live coming? When was it, like 2 years?
I think
years?
It was like, oh, it was 2 years?
Was it? I don't know. I'm asking.
I don't know. It was a while, but I don't know if it was 2 years.
Right, like their killer app Halo could not be played online because they didn't have their infrastructure set, because they refused to, you know, they're trying to push this Ethernet thing that wasn't in everybody's house at that point. I mean, it's been successful now, but now they're trying, we need high-definition TVs in everybody's house for someone to take full advantage of the PS3 and the Xbox 360 graphics. Well, AC TVs are growing, but how many households right now have it? You know, and how many people are going to feel gypped when they spend $400 on their console and it looks like crap on their regular RCA connection, you know? So, I'm getting the request to talk about ham and eggs, and I'll say no.
I want to say one more thing real quick about the broadband stuff, and that is that another piece that plays kind of big into when this will come about is the deregulation of regulation of the industry. And if you guys know, they just passed a pretty big bill in the Senate to remove the current monopoly system of the cable companies. That means that all the telecom providers can now offer cable television, internet, and phone service over their own fiber optic lines in the street that they will put in.
So that's why people are threatening to go to Verizon when they bring out TV. I'm like, what the hell is Verizon going to do with TV?
Verizon is starting right now in Long Island is actually putting fiber optic in the ground to individual houses, and it will
be
their
Fios
own lines, and they will offer television service as well as, you know, cable and phone.
Just what like about GameTap?
Well, GameTap is something else, but
yeah, like, I know.
That's the point, though, and the speeds that Verizon's going to offer for the same price as cable is ridiculous. It's going to be, you know, 100 times faster than your standard cable connection, and it'll be $50 a month.
Wow, I can't wait.
So in that sense, it's not far off. The government has basically just said we're breaking up the existing franchise monopoly system of cable companies. No longer will they have control over certain areas as long as they offer the same product,
Ethan,
as their competitors.
Ethan, and does that put your prospectus down?
No, it's better, because what happens is it increases the need for all these cable companies to either reduce costs, reduce prices, or put their own fiber in the ground. So it just it increases the proliferance of fiber into everybody's house, and as long as you have, and they're using three single streams in their trunk, one for data, one for phone, and one for TV, and there's room left on each band to transmit something like 70 concurrent channels in HD over one stream.
Okay.
And these things are thin. They're tiny.
Oh,
so all they do is they keep adding more and more and more, and that's why fiber optics is this promise of almost limitless bandwidth.
Right.
And that's why
really
I kind
impressive.
Of think also that the terminal system is kind of what's going to happen.
Wow,
well, I'll say this. I mean, I've never been a doubter of digital distribution in general, but I don't ever... I don't not see it happening, but I just don't think it's a good idea for it to totally kill tangible medium. I'll say my ideal situation is I still have my discs, but a rental system like GameTap that is online, you know? So discs are just like Steam, Half-Life Episode 1. EA is still putting out Half-Life Episode 1 on store shelves, but if you don't want to go there and if you don't want to support EA's maniacal, evil, stupid ways, which I don't, I can go on Steam and download it if I want. I went and I got Splinter Cell Chaos Theory online from Ubisoft. And you know, the greatest part is I think they provided me with the ISO files to burn onto a CD as a backup option. And that's my whole thing about this whole digital distribution, backwards compatibility, blah, blah, blah. My whole thing is, if you want to stream stuff to me, fine. Give me an option to back it up so I can own it. Not for pride's sake, but for practicality's sake. And I think I'm pretty much done with this. If anything, everyone has a...
Yep.
Anyway. Go ahead.
No, we're done.
Oh, you're done. Ethan, any parting words, Ethan?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that most likely... I don't know how far it goes if you wind up having any kind of data that's stored locally or anything, but most likely the solution is somewhere in the middle. You know, it's never going to be like, okay, now you are not allowed to play anything in your house. It's going to be, you know, you have some kind of device like a console or a computer or some kind of thing that actually does do processing and storage, yet you pay for service almost all the time because... Maybe it's cheaper. The companies require you to play the new games on their service, but then after they're old or 2 years old, you can download them and play them offline on your system. I don't know, because at that point, then the speed there's no speed difference. You know, there's no speed difference in the bus of your console or computer versus the speed of your internet connection.
I just want that disc option because I know actually, and I know I lied when I said this is my last thing. This is my last thing. the whole argument of, I have a hard drive which is X gigs large to store X amount of games on my terminal versus, I've got all these discs that are taking up space in my house, but I'm not limited to 20 gigs or 40 gigs or 60 gigs of storage. As big as my house is, I'll have all these discs. If I have a storage room down in the basement, I'll have these discs. That's my limit on storage, not a hard drive that could crash, that could, you know, that'll make me have to delete old games that I still want to keep. That's my whole apprehension about everything digital. That includes iPods. I mean, one of the things that you and I spoke about, Ethan, when we were deciding what MP3 player to get is, well, we were both on mini discs because we could have as many mini discs as we wanted. But now that we moved to iPods, it's like, or which one you have, the Rio Karma?
Yeah.
Right? It's like, it's great, but every so often we have to dump out old songs when we get new albums.
Yeah,
and that's the whole thing about console gaming to me. That has always been, you stick a disc in, you pick up a controller, you take it out, and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, but I mean that's
okay. Now I'm done.
It's the same thing in that sense with like satellite radio, or you could move that device to a broadband device as well, where you're just getting that content delivered digitally, and the storage is all somewhere else, and you have unlimited.
But you still have CDs though.
But you won't need them. If you have unlimited storage that's always available somewhere else, and you can use a iPod nano-sized device to get literally, you know, every CD ever made, you probably just go for that. I mean, I think I would pay for that service than try to collect a bunch of stuff, as long as I knew that service really wasn't going anywhere.
Well, it's
and then it's a question of faith. You know, it's a question of, do I believe that the service will remain there forever? Do I believe that these content providers will always be there, and the technology will almost always work? Because even CD players break sometimes. So
of course,
really,
of course,
99.999% uptime, that's good enough for me.
Right.
And if I believe that, breaks.
Yeah, absolutely. But if I believe that, then I'll do it. And I think that's kind of the question with the internet and online bill pay. In the beginning, when people were like, I have to give my credit card information to the internet, no way. But then as it kind of kept going and going and going, and people understood what encryption meant and what kind of security measures companies were taking, the fact is your financial data is way safer in the hands of Citibank than it is on your computer.
Mm-hmm. Sure, of course. Absolutely.
I mean, they have
Hacksaws.
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess my whole thing, just to sum up, is that I don't trust the connection. I just don't. Everything is just like I know that a physical piece of hardware will break down. the connection is not 100%, and I'm not saying choose one over the other. I'm saying eliminating one is stupidity, and I'm never going to change my mind about that.
I totally agree, and I think that most people probably feel that way. I think that it's way better if that you have some kind of backup, so that if the connection goes down, you can listen to your 50 CDs that are stored locally. So you don't necessarily have your entire library on your broadband-enabled MP3 player or your terminal in your house, but you have enough that you can do stuff, and you can swap it out.
Or I'll have my entire collection like I do now.
Or maybe, but I just don't know that that's, like, in terms of the physical CD, I don't know. I think that one may really be going. Like, maybe you'll have a hard drive where you can store stuff, but you'll have limited space. And you can keep buying, I guess, more hard drives. But I really don't know. I don't know. I see the number of people that want to keep a CD that where that really matters to them dwindling over the next 50 years. And I guess. It's only because kids are born now, they won't have the same experience rather that we had when we were kids.
Yeah, I agree. I just personally think it'll happen and I'll adapt to it, but I will continue to believe that it's a bad idea.
Yeah, and that's one of the great things about getting old. I mean, like, if you look at every other technology where old people see it, they're like, you know, there's newfangled stuff, I hate it! And the reason is because of the same stuff that we're saying. We like the way we were brought up. We like our experience, and we don't want that to change.
No, it's not... That is part of it, but my biggest gripe is not what I like and what I don't. It's logical. If you talk to an old person, all right, newfangled stuff, but they had record players, we have CD players. The common denominator here is still we have a physical thing. The move from physicality to just totally digital is huge and could be disruptive in a bad way that we just don't have our hands on something anymore. You know, it's just like...
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like, it's just like why people should still get a paper bank statement in case their computer fries or something.
But look at it this way. The number of people requesting paper bank statements are going down every single year. There are fewer and fewer bank statements on paper getting sent out every year.
Right, and I think that's a stupid decision.
I'm doing it.
On their part. You're stupid. You're stupid, then.
On that note.
Yeah.
I'm stupid.
The porpoise and the helicopter microphone guy, any last words?
Woo, woo, woo! No, I had last words 10 minutes ago, so okay. I'm good.
Yeah, my last words are, challenge Guitar Hero soon.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Alrighty, sorry everybody for the technical difficulties today. Blame it on Helicopter Man. And we will hopefully see you next week without helicopters for Ethan, Al, and Tony. And
see you later.